something. You've tapped into the goodness of the Lord. You've tapped up into the mercies of the Lord. And since you tapped into the mercy, death will behave. And since you tapped into the goodness, your son shall be raised back to life. I wish I had somebody that understood that you got something following you. If you're persistent in your faith, he will follow. Oh, yeah, he'll go with you. Oh, yeah, I want the Lord to be with me. And he'll go with you, amen, if you're persistent in your faith. And the Bible said that he went. He put his mouth upon the boy's mouth. Hands on his hand, eyes on his eyes. He basically covered the boy. Nothing happened at first. The body got warm, but he still wasn't breathing. Sometimes that's how it is at church. You got warm bodies, but there's no spirit, no breath. Oh, my God. We warm, we all right, but we ain't got no spirit, no life in us. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Elisha, he performed a spiritual CPR. He got off the boy and he walked back and forth through the house. And then he asked the Lord, he said, bring his soul back to him. And the Bible said that the boy was raised up and he sneezed 7 times. He was completely healed of whatever the problem was. Oh yeah, that number 7 means that there was a complete transformation from death back to life. Oh, come on and say, man, that was something happened completely in him. And I got more to say. I wish I had time to give you the revelation of some of this. But look at this. He says that the boy sneezed 7 times. Amen. And then in verse 36, he said, and he called Gehazi.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
My brothers and sisters, one of the things that I want to just share with you, and I'm only going to be a minute. God wants you to know, listen, that he's not through blessing you yet. I know it feels like it's some time and it seems like it's been a long time, but God wants you to know, listen, he's on the verge of blessing you greater than you've ever been blessed before. He's just trying to get you in position to receive his blessing. He's got to straighten out some mess and some stuff that's out of order so that he can cause blessings to flow in your life. God does not do things if they're not decently done and in order. If you look at this chapter, chapter 2 of Joel, Joel chapter 2, it's a fascinating chapter because verses 1 through 11 deals with the locusts coming in and invading Israel like an army. Like an army. Now listen to this well now. Locusts come in by the millions and invade Israel. Well, verses 12 through 17 deal with God requiring of his people repentance. The reason why God permitted the locusts to come in, I just want to throw this out parenthetically, is because God's people became too unappreciative for the things God had done, the ways God had made, the blessings God had given. They had become too comfortable with God and had expected that he'd bless them no matter how they acted, no matter how they lived, no matter what they said and what they did. And God had to show them he's a holy God. You can't live any kind of way and expect me to accept that. When I'm a holy God, you should be holy even as your Father in heaven is holy. And yet the people of God had themselves wrapped up in everything else but God. God required of them repentance. Repentance. Why is that so important? Because, see, let me say this. If you never say you're sorry, then you never act as if you're wrong. There's something seriously wrong with a man or woman who can't ever say I'm wrong, who can't ever say I'm sorry, who can't ever say it was my fault, who can't ever take the blame for what they've done, who's always pointing the finger at somebody. There's something wrong inherently with them because they then start acting that way with God. And so was Israel. And God said, no, you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to turn from your wicked ways. You're going to have to leave that old way of life alone. I blessed you. I've kept you. I could have allowed men to come in and destroy you, but I just called in my army, listen, of locusts. Not men with guns and staves and knives and weaponry, but locusts. Because I wanted you, listen, I wanted to get your attention. I wanted you to see that it wasn't the enemy doing this to you, it was you doing this to you, and I was in control of it all. Sometimes God blesses us so much that we forget to say thank you. We treat him any kind of way. We tip him on the table when we're giving offerings. We act as if we don't have to give him the tithe which belongs to him. We get by, we do, we give to everything. And every, y'all getting quiet, but that's all right. But when it comes to God, you don't reverence him. You don't worship him. You don't see that. And God gets tired of being taken for granted. And so he calls them to repentance. Verse 11, 12 rather, through 17. But verses 18 through 27, God promises them that he'll restore all the years that the locusts have eaten. Verses 28 through 32, he promises them his spirit. Now remember, this is a prophet prophesying about things to come. And I think I need to tell you, as I get a pre-shout moment in, that time he was talking about is already here. He was talking to them. It was on its way. But today I'm talking to you, it's already here. See, I got to get your mind right, your eyes right, your focus right. So, because God's not going to let go of what he has for you until you learn how to handle it right. Here's what God knows. If you lost it the first time because you didn't act right, what makes you think you're not going to lose it the second time unless you get yourself together? Now he's making a difference now because he's requiring of you a standard by which you must operate in order to get these blessings released back into your life. And again, I want you to see, he did not allow the enemy to take these things. You can't blame everything on the devil. Some stuff is you. You can't lie always on the devil. The devil made you do. What? Wait. How can the devil make you do anything when Jesus purchased you with his precious blood on Calvary, got the tithe and the deed, the title that says he no longer has a right to you? So how can he make you do anything when the truth of the matter is you just want to do anything? And so, my brothers and sisters, God knows our heart. He knows our minds. And he said, listen to this. If you think I'm playing, I'll watch the locusts devour everything you've got. I'll watch him eat up everything. You think you this now? I'll show you what I can bring you down to. Now, look at this. This is very interesting because I need you to see. He names four different locusts in this 25th verse. He talks about the locust. He talks about the cankerworm. He talks about the caterpillar. And then he talks about the palmer worm. Now, what's interesting about this, my brothers and sisters, is all of these are from the grasshopper family. God called in to nature and said, I've got a place I want you to feed at for a little while. It's green, it's fruitful, it's full, its pastures are ripe, and on and on. He said, I've got some people there that don't appreciate my blessings. I want you to camp out there a little while and just take what you want. Have at it. And look at this, because I want you to see. These represent four different stages. Everything from the larvae stage all the way up to the full-grown stage. The locust full-grown are what's called the swarming locusts. That's when you look up in the sky and the sky looks black because there are millions and millions of locusts bound together, coming into one place so thick that they block out the sunlight. And anything they touch down on, they destroy it. But then he talks about the cankerworm. And the cankerworm is the hopping grasshoppers. They're the ones, once they have landed, they see something here, and then before they're through good, they hop on over to the next, and they just keep hopping. I mean, they just get excited, and they go, and they eat and strip everything that they want. The caterpillar is called the stripping grasshopper because it strips the plant of its nutrients and its bark and its ability to be sustained once the caterpillar gets through with it. And then the palmerworm is considered the cutting grasshopper because what it does is it takes the last little bit of something and cuts it up so fine you can't do nothing with it. So when you begin to look at how God sends this great army in and they do a total destruction, what is so interesting about it with the palmer worm as well is they not only cut up and make it, as small as they can, but they get it down to seed form. And they, between what they have cut up and the size of the seed, they destroy, listen, the seed, so much so that there is no chance of a harvest next season. You see, what a lot of folks don't understand, even when you have a harvest this season, there are fruit that drop, there are seeds that drop that are preparing the ground for the next season. Well, the palmer worm takes care of the seed. He eats up all the seed and cuts up all of the seed along with all of the weeds and everything else there is, that there will not even be a potential harvest for the next season. And when these grasshoppers, these locusts, got through doing their thing, there was nothing else to do. They had been stripped. They had been chopped. They had been swarmed. And they had been cut till there was nothing left. And after God saw how they had ravished the land, the Bible says he got jealous over his land. And then he felt pity for his people. Thank God for pity. You know, sometimes God just bless us because we're just so pitiful. You've been in that pitiful state so long, you just said, come on, get up. I'm going to help you out, straighten you out. And that's what he did. He had pity on them, and he was jealous of his beautiful land that he had given all of this fruitfulness to, and allowed the grasshoppers to devastate it. And his promise was this, that he would restore what the locusts have eaten. Now listen to this. He says, I will restore the years. Somebody say years. Somebody say time. You see, one of the things that you've got to understand is you've made some decisions in your life and you've lost some things, but you can get them things back.
I'm a witness.
Yeah. You've gone to some wrong places and things didn't work out, but you got other places you can go. You know, you can go on, and as I can think of 1,000 different scenarios of how things could go wrong. All of those things could be undone in some way or another. But the only thing that can't be undone is time. Time. And yet God says, I will restore the years, the time that the locusts have eaten. Now, how does God do this? Listen at this, my brothers and sisters. You've got to realize this is so important for you to hear this. If you don't hear nothing else I say, I need you to open your ears and hear this, because a whole lot of you, if you have not come to this place, will come back to this place in life where you wonder, how can you get some time back that you've lost? You're going to wonder, oh, many of the worldly songwriters used to say, if I could turn back the hands of time, if I knew then what I know now. Am I talking to anybody in the house? You're going to learn time is the only thing you can't get back. You can get stuff you lost back, but you can't get time back. So how is God going to restore the years? Here, may I make three suggestions to you? The first thing that you need to recognize is they missed their blessing because they didn't realize who their real blessing was. See, you know, it doesn't really matter what God does for you because you figure he's God and he can do it. But what he does for you, he does for you because he loves you. He wants you. He wants your attention. He wants your time. He wants a fellowship with you that is above everything else. And so sometimes God will allow stuff to be taken from you, stolen from you, lost, misplaced. You'll be fooled out of it. All of that, why? Because it was in the wrong place in the first place. It was in the place that it should have been with God. So how does God restore the years? He starts one with intimacy. Write this down, check it down, put it in your heart, your mind. Intimacy. What do you mean intimacy? Intimacy with God. In other words, God did all of that because he wanted their attention. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. If God will do that, then what God really wants from me is me. He doesn't want my money. He doesn't even want my service and my time if they don't have my heart. Amen. The only reason why he wants me to serve him and the only reason why he wants me to represent him is because I love him. If I take that out, there is no intimacy with God. There is no real fellowship with God. There is no real relationship. And therefore, it's worth nothing. It's a hollow relationship, which Israel has had time and time again. They would go to idol gods. They would deal with different things and other people and take on all of their issues and forsake God. And they would not be intimate with God as to love him with everything in them. That's what God wants from you more than anything else. Listen, if you love him like you're supposed to love him, you got to realize who it is you're loving. What do you mean? Well, when they called for Jesus to come see about Lazarus, Lazarus had died. Because Jesus delayed his trip. But Jesus knew he was going to die. But Jesus also knew he could fix it if he died. So it was just a matter, listen, of getting to him when he got to him. When he got to him, because of the intimacy that they shared, that family shared, they knew that when they called him, he was going to come right away. But God's business was at hand. And he put God's business first. And then when he took care of God's business, when he came there, he had no problem reversing the effects of time. They told him, he's stinking now. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus didn't even address the stench. He simply said, Lazarus, come forth. And he got up out of that grave. And Jesus said, now y'all take them grave clothes off him. That's the problem right now. Too many of you all got folk that ought be bound free, and people who ought be free, y'all have got them bound. You kiss it on your way home. but because he could reverse the effects of time, and the intimate relationship that he had made him call just Lazarus' name. See, if he had had an intimate relationship with everybody in the graveyard, he'd say, get up. And everything in the graveyard would have got up. But his intimate relationship was with Lazarus, so he called Lazarus by what? By name. Second thing is that would cause God to restore the years or the time that the locusts have eaten up. It's very important, because when you look at this second thing, you're going to realize that not only one does God need intimacy, but God needs this thing that is so important when you get to the point where God is looking for you now to be intensified. Listen, the intensity of your affections, your love, your strength. In other words, you love him with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and your strength. Why? Because he wants everything intensified. When you are talking about regaining something that you've lost, you ain't got time to play. If you've lost time, you got to make up time. That means you got the double step, triple step. You've got to make up the time that you've lost. So that means you've got to intensify everything that relates to God. A lot of folk who were in the world will tell you they lived and lived until they, you know, God saved them, and they may be 40, 50 years old, and they tell you, now listen, I don't play church, because when I was in the world, I didn't play in the world. I did what I wanted to do, and I acted the way I wanted to act, and I gave up the world everything I have. Now that I've come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I ain't got time to play church. I'm going to give him everything I got plus some, because I'm making up for lost time. I'm giving him all that I should have given him in the first place. So now all of my efforts are intensified. Why is that important to understand? Because the Bible says a day with the Lord is as a thousand, and a thousand as one day. So you got to understand that you have got to make sure all of your efforts. That's why Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, night cometh, when no man can work. Every one of us have that period where no man can work. That's why I got to work right now while I can. I might not be feeling good, but I better give all I got while I can. I might have to press my way, but I might as well press my way while I can. I've got to give him everything I got, because when the day comes and I ain't got no more to give, I can say, thank you, Lord. I gave you the best that I had. And then the third thing is impossibilities. You see, you've got to realize that when God restores what the cake of worm has eaten up, is because he has the power over impossibilities. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too hard for him. That faith, listen, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And it is in that same light that God shows them all of the impossibilities that can be done. You didn't think it could, but it could. All those women who were barren, they were not just barren, but they were barren and old. Past the years of childbearing years, reproductive timing. Time could not erase those things, but God's impossibility or power did it. Everything that God specializes in is in the impossibilities to man. And when you realize your God is a God who specializes in the impossibilities, then you begin to realize that nothing is impossible with God.